Beis Amid Beis, two dots, right across the mid where it says Mishnah and Rashi. That's what we're up to. Apotropos Sheminu Avi Yisai Mem Yishba. We had a machloikus in the Mishnah, an apotropos appointed by the father of the Yisaimim should swear. There was a machloikus. Tanakhama said, Bala said, father appointed him, we swear, he swears. Bezin appointed him, he doesn't swear at the end. And we, again, I want to mention this. This is a called a shvuas apotropos. This is not a, this is a takonah drabanan. Usually, in order to have a swearing, to have somebody swear, you have to have a claim. Here, the Yisaimim don't know. Nobody knows whether the apotropos took money. They can come over and they say, we would want you to swear that you never took money, even though they have no reason to believe that he did. And that's called a shvuas apotropos. So the Tanakhama, the Chacham say, it only applies when the father appoints him. When Bezin appoints him, he doesn't have to swear. They cannot make him swear, maybe you took money, we want you to swear that you didn't. Now, the Shaul says the exact opposite. The Rishayim speak out that if when the Yisraelim grow up, they have a claim that he took money, they say, we know he took money, we checked it out, and it doesn't add up. That's a regular claim that we deal with like any other claim to swear rabbinically. I go over to somebody, I say, you owe me $1,000, and he says, no, he doesn't. He has to swear rabbinically. If the Yisraelim come to the apotropos, when they become older, and they say, listen, we went through our book, and there's money missing, right? So then it's a regular claim. We're talking about there's no claim. The Yisraelim have no idea. They don't know. Can they ask for a shvuah to make themselves feel better that it was taken care of? They have no reason to claim it. Can everybody mute themselves online, please? There's no reason to claim it. They stop. So that's machloikus in our Mishnah, whether we make the apotropos swear, when yes and when not. That I don't, correct. Madrabanon, it's called the Shuas Hesses. Not Madaraisa, but Madrabanon. Correct. Because we have, it's based on, again, this is Rabbanon, but Rabbanon based on the fact that you wouldn't come and ask a ridiculous thing unless there's a basis to it. On the other hand, people don't tell a guy who did them a favor, lie in their face. So there's two behavioral things that are... So Midraisa, the favor says you don't have to swear. I would never lie and tell you I don't owe you a penny if it wasn't true. However, Rabbanon felt that we should make the guy swear. It's a shvuah Rabbanon. Wait a minute, this is the right
stuff. So if this apotropos at the end of the day,
there's no way out. No way out. What's he supposed to say? I'll pay what? Again, if there's a definite claim afterwards, that's a different story. But if there's no definite, again, all I said is that the Rishayim say, if the Yisraelim come and say, we went through the books and there's $1,000 missing, he has to swear. They have to come with a claim. They can't come say, we went through the books and something is missing. That's not a claim. There is no way out. There's nothing to pay.
That's a great thing. Great thing to do. They have to pay. If he doesn't swear.
Whoa, one second.
I'm not going to swear. You can't make me swear.
Yes, I can. Rabbanon say you have to swear.
I'm not going to swear.
This is your chiyuv Rabbanon. I'm not going to wear tzon. I'm not going to wear tzon. What are you going to do about it? I'm not going to wear tzon. Again, it's a mitzvah. It's an obligation. We're not talking about people that don't keep their obligations. Are you trying to be from? On what chesed are you trying to be from? But the Rabbanon told you not to be from. Again, if there is what to pay, there's nothing to pay. The same, you're afraid to swear? Well, the Rabbanon are saying that you have to swear. Now, the guy can say, what am I supposed to do? I never know for sure if I took or didn't take. I don't know what would happen. I don't know. I'm afraid to swear because I might have taken 5 cents or 10 cents or 20 cents. I don't remember. I don't know what would happen. I don't know. Zakti Gemara, I'm trying to show you what you said in Yishba. My timer. Why by the father do we make him swear and by person we don't? Meaning, shvuah is a deterrent. Why would a guy become an apotropos if at the end of it he has to make a shvuah. Nobody wants to make a shvuah. The answer is because why is the guy agreeing to be a guardian? Why is he doing the father? He must owe the father something. So this is his way of repaying the father. Father asks, please become the guardian over my assets. Now, why would a guy do it? Only because he wants to do the father a favor. If he wants to do a favor, Shua is not going to deter him. He's doing the best in a favor. He doesn't owe Bethan anything. Bethan calls him up and says, we need an a guardian. He'll say, Bethan, it's very nice. I feel very honored. No, thank you. So therefore, if you're going to make him swear, he's going to say, no, thank you. Elav, where is it? Yeah. That's the Tanakhama. Hello? I think your people should mute themselves. Abishal, I'm a chilavator.
If the father,
Abishal,
he did.
Yes, I'm sorry, you were interrupted. Abishal, I'm a chilavator. The opposite. My timer. We knew about the Yishba. Because by who I know, the Kanavagale called it Ishmaham Nahu. It's a big honor to be appointed as guardian by Bethan. You're a trustworthy person. Bethan is giving you a seal of honor. Who does Bethan ask to be a guardian? Not some schlepper. Somebody that's reliable. So, he's not going to turn it down because of a shul. It's kedai for him. He's a guardian. When he goes into the bank will say, oh, this is the guy we lend money to. Bethan appointed him as a guardian. He gets hanor. Gets the covet is worth money for him. It's an honor. It's an esteemed position. So he's not going
to
be deterred by Yeshua. Exactly. But yeah, no. The kanavik they call him some of them pay dinam shushu las and amnu yem you. But you have a yisayim leishu and milsa ba'amud avdu adadim. He's doing a favor. He doesn't feel compelled to do it. You're almost like Yeshua, so the Mnuye. So again, it's a machlokes, which swar you go by. Which one will be a deterrent? Tanakhama says, the father, it's a favor he owes him, so he won't be deterred. Abishol says, I don't know, he's not willing to, why should he be willing to do a shvuah? Because maybe he owes him a favor. Who says he owes him that much of a favor? And by shvuah, by Bethan, the other way. Tanakhama says, why would the guy get involved if he has to swear? And Abishol says, it's a chashivas. It's a chashivas. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Mishim Shvua. Brock Mesh, is there a box of tissues anywhere around? Thank you. You can throw it. I can catch. I agree, you shouldn't throw in a show. Dr. Rashi. Mishim Shvua. The Ramas of the Messiah, the Minna Mithila, Shari Nain was there. The guy did him a favor. He owes him a favor. Milsa Mamas of the best in time to screen him. It's a free fair thing. She says, I still the best in the Kabbalah of Rahim, the Triach of Nay Simon. It's a job. Being guardian is not just, it's a job. We also believe me, Carmel Kabbalah. Milsa Mamas of the La Dadi, Abishal learns, but he does it for the father. Did we have a Varayas? I have a name. They were friendly. Well, I'm not a mama and Kokak. It wasn't like he owed him a big favor. The guy did me a bit. We're friends. I'll do it for him. If you make me swear, I'm not going to do it for him. And so, yes, Abraham, you had a question. The third case is...
I don't know.
So it's a machlokes rishayim. Some rishayim say that in that case, you definitely have to swear. The father didn't ask him to do it. Bethan didn't ask him to do it. The yisayim gravitate to him. So he has to swear. And other Rishayim say just the opposite. Why, if a guy would say to the Yisayim, listen, I love you dearly, but I am not getting involved in this. I don't know your father or anything. I don't know Bez or anything. So there's no Machlokes Rishayim how to view it.
In the beginning, the
Mishnah,
the beginning of the Mishnah, there were only two cases.
No, there was a third case, the first case in the Mishnah. Yisayim Shisam Chuei Tzabalabayas.
There's nothing of one by the orphan. We talked about...
Again, the Mishnah referred to three kinds of apotropism. At the beginning of the Mishnah, The Mishnah talked about Yisraimim who gravitated to somebody. There was no official appointment. They gravitated to somebody. And the Mishnah gave him the halachas of a guardian.
But in terms of ties to that, says that there's two cases. The father did it or the mother did it.
No, it does not. Where do you see that?
From the beginning of the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah of the Eichel. And
whoa, where was this?
52A1.
Yes, read it. They gravitated to somebody. Nobody appointed him.
I know he's going to gravitate to one case.
There's no mention of a father here either. Oh, meaning, I should mean a Lamavir and have a trouble. It doesn't mention Benjamin. It's the same thing.
No, yeah.
So what's it did in that case?
Same thing.
What?
They can take Meister when necessary. You're right. It doesn't mention the case of Bezdin.
They're all obligated.
Everyone's
obligated.
No, later on, this is Bezdin. Yeah, but he's asking why they say the beginning. Something about that. Tanya Rebbezim Yaakov Eimer, Zemezay Yishba. Both have to swear. Baloch Kedvarav, and we paskin that way. We don't, but the Gemara paskins that way. We don't paskin like the Gemara here. We paskin, I believe, like Abishol. I believe we passed the Gabashov. Yes. Tanner of Tchliva by Maravah, Commander of Avo. A Petrebish Minu Abi Yisraimim Yishba. The Neshu Naitzis Sachar. Because he's getting paid. Amalei At Isis Kaba Vakailuslei. Are you bringing the bucket and paying him? How does he translate the words? Are you bringing.
Measuring it out.
Are you measuring it out and paying? And who's paying him? What do you mean he's getting paid? Nobody's paying him. It's a free job.
That's the question.
Again.
Oh, you're saying you're.
If the Chalitza said that a Trappist that's appointed by the father has to swear because he's getting paid. So he answered him, are you paying him? Who's paying him? It's like he's getting paid because he's doing it as a return favor. So therefore, it's as if he was paid to do the job by the fact that the father did him favors. Again, he was not obligated to do it back, but he feels a compelling reason to do a favor back to the guy who took care of him, did him favors. So therefore, that makes him like a nice and sucker. That's all.
He won't
deter. It won't be a deterrent. That's like the Tanakhama. Again, we have different opinions. This is the Tanakhama's opinion. Okay, the test is up to here. I had enough questions up to here. There was no reason for me to have to go past here. However, we are going to start the Gemara further. It'll be on next week's test, that's all. Okay. Now, I'm going to present something. I usually don't like to do this, but I will do this. What in the world does it have to do with Masechta Tfilin? Yes.
I guarantee you when he does something, he didn't think, I'm doing it because of this. And there are people like that. This is what we all should
do. Those are the people that bet on the points. Those are the people that bet on the points. The people that do things because it's the right thing to do and will get it.
Don't look at anything about you did me a favor. You didn't know who the people are. That's the way it.
I'm glad you gave him Moshe Shmuz. Now, can we move on? I'm happy. It's Owl. We like Moshe Shmuz. I'm serious. You know, it's very nice. Okay. There's a machlokes in the Gemara, how to learn this Mishnah. I'm going to read the Mishnah, and I'm going to speak out the machlokes. I usually like to leave the machlokes in the Gemara for the Gemara, but it makes us, the approach will be easier once we know the two sides. Mishnah says, a person does three types of damages, one of three. Either he goes and takes a dead sheret and touches truma of his friends. You look at the truma, it doesn't look changed at all. It's the same truma. However, now its value has diminished considerably. Truma tahira can be eaten by a kayan. Truma tmeya cannot be eaten by a kayan. Can be used as fuel for whatever it's worth, depending what item it is. What? No. That's one. That's called a hezek she'ena nikar. And if it's damaged, it's not recognizable. You don't see the damage. Hamadame, the guy took truma and mixed it into chulin. Now, if it's not 100 to 1, it's not batul. So he took a pound of truma and mixed it into 50 pounds of chulin. The whole thing becomes a mixture, and now the owner has to sell it at truma prices, because the only one that can buy it is the kayak. Now, it's not as much of a loss as matame, but it is a loss. But again, I don't know, you had 51 pounds before, and now you have 51 pounds now. There's nothing missing. But I'm a nasech, which is going to be a machloikus. Because you can sell it to a kayan, he can eat it. Not tame, that he has to use it as fuel. A kayan can buy it to eat. He just gets a cheaper price because there's a lesser market for it. I have wheat. That's truma. I sell it. Only kahanim can buy it. Again, truma was separated. Somebody took it and mixed it into other chulin. The halacha is, it's only batul 100 to 1. By truma, it's batul 100 to 1. If it's 95 to 1, nobody can eat it but a kayan. This guy went, took a pound of truma, and mixed it into 95 pounds of chulin. You have the same 96 pounds that you started off with. But by mixing it together, it has diminished its value. Not as much as metame, but has diminished the value. The third case is menasech, which the Gemara will explain. But just trust me, it's a hezek shein and nicker. It's not a recognizable hezek. Dr. Mishnah b'shaygi patur b'meizim chayiv. It was done by mistake, it's patur. It's done by on purpose, it's chayiv. That's the Mishnah. There's two ways to understand this Mishnah. There's a machloikus. One Monday Amai says that really, biblically speaking, you should be chayiv. A damage is a damage. Whether recognizable or not, person A damaged person B. You pay for your damages. The problem is, since it's a non-recognizable damage, if it happened b'shagig, the guy who damaged will say to himself, nobody will ever know what I did. Why in the world should I tell him? Meanwhile, the guy's going to eat truma tomato. Nobody will tell him. Usually when a thing is damaged, the guy comes and says, who broke my thing? He does an investigation. He tries to find out. He finds the guy who damaged the thing. But he walks in, he sees his truma, and nobody told him that a sheretz touched it. He's going to eat it. Now, the guy who did it says to himself, if I tell him, I'm going to have to pay. I'm not going to tell him. Therefore, the Rabbanan came along and said, if it's b'shagig, we don't make you pay. If you did it b'mezid, you're going to want him to know. You don't gain satisfaction from him eating truma tamea. You gain satisfaction by telling, I hurt you, I damaged you. So if you do it b'mezid, you're going to tell him. So then we make you pay. You damaged him. Right? We're not talking about a guy that gets satisfaction by being machshel a guy in aveira. That's not satisfaction. Satisfaction is when you can tell him, I hurt you, I'm angry at you, I hurt you, I broke your thing, I did it. I was matame your truma. But shaygig, why should I tell him? I didn't do it on purpose. And I don't want to pay.
When the coin eats it, or then the non-coin eats it?
The coin's going to eat it. And they eat the tummy truma.
The shaking. So I don't have to. That doesn't go on my head.
I don't know. It doesn't. Not enough that I want to pay. So that's one maliyamar. So one maliyamar approaches it that biblically you should pay. A damage is a damage. You damaged them. What difference does it make if it's recognizable or not recognizable? It's a damage. Damage is pay. Came along to Rabbanan and said, if you did it b'shagi, we're not going to make you pay, so you should inform him. Because if not, you won't inform him. That's case one. That's one mandiyama. The other mandiyama says the other way. Damage means recognizable damage. The translation in the Torah of the word nezek is damage that's recognizable. Unrecognizable damage is not called damage. Exactly. Therefore, really, you should not pay. came along to Rabbanan and said, if that's going to happen, everybody's going to go around and do Hezek Sheni Nikkers. It doesn't cost anything. Every time I'm angry at you, I'll do a Hezek Sheni Nikker. I don't have to pay.
Tell him.
It doesn't make a difference. I don't have to pay. Again, if you hold Hezek Sheni Nikker, life shmei Hezek, what's going to stop people from going around and doing it? So they said, the mazid you pay. So there's a machloikis in approach. Is the default option, if that's the word to use, the first option before we start, chayiv or pata? One man the other says, really, you should be chayiv on both. The rabbanon pata you on one. And one man the other says, really, you should be pata in both. And the rabbanon made you chayiv on one. Bottom line, the same. The mazid chayiv, b'shaygi pata.
Right?
Again, that's the machlokes. What does the word damage in the Torah mean? It's not damaged.
Because it's not recognized, it's not damaged.
Do you see a difference?
If someone steals somebody's painting and replaces it with a replica,
well, I'm not a. Obviously, people can tell the difference. If not, it wouldn't be worth money. The reason an original is worth more money than a replica is because it can be told the difference. If not, everybody would be getting replicas.
If only one person could tell.
Somebody knows the difference. To somebody who cares, they know the difference. If you steal a bottle of wine that's worth $1,000 and you give me an $8.95 bottle of wine, to me it's all the same. I don't know the difference between one wine and the other wine. But obviously, if people are willing to pay $1,000 for a bottle of wine, it must be a better bottle of wine. Again, to me, all wines are created equal. Grape juice is the only thing that's not created equal. What?
Ain't a nicker, even in tasting it.
Ain't a nicker means you look at the item and it's not red damaged.
The example you gave about a bottle of wine, I wouldn't know if it's one or the other. So is that called nicker?
Yes, it is. For a person that's a connoisseur, it's a nicker.
Even though you can't
see it. Yes, that's called nicker. A different wine. You would be able to tell. The guy that knows wines can tell the difference by looking at a $1,000 wine and an $8.95 bottle of wine. Trust me, he knows the difference. I don't. To me, it's all the same. What?
Smell.
Smell. Right. Not a connoisseur, I have no idea. Duck trashy. I'm a Tommy Tyrese of Chavarik and Truma. Amadame Truma Bechulun Shochaveri Mavsidai. So Isra Luzara, Miazis it for Yisrael. Maturk Lamakru the Kadam Bezul. He has to sell it cheap. Hamanasa Gayan Chaveri Begumar Mefarshla. Beshaiki Platim Begumar Matayma Platim Betashluma. Now, the reason I spoke out, this Machloikis, I could have waited for the Gemara, is because the Gemara is going to approach it at the beginning, assuming, like the Mandamana says, Hezek Sheni Nikker Loi Shemei Hezek. That's a. The Gemara could have written it the other way, whatever the Gemara is going to do. But the Gemara picked one of two ways. It's working, operating under the assumption that biblically it's not a Hezek, and Rabbanan are Mechayev Yubamezek. That's how the Gemara is going to be operating without bringing the Machloikas. Then the Gemara will bring the Machloikas. So therefore I mentioned it to start with, that the Gemara is now assuming, not that it's going to make a difference, but the Gemara could have done it one of two ways, assume one way or assume the other way. The Gemara decided to write it under the assumption that Hezek Sheni Nikker Loi Shemei Hezek. So everything the Gemara is going to say is really you shouldn't pay, and then they made you pay. That's the assumption the Gemara is going to be working with. Zok the Gemara Itmar. What is Menasech? We had a case in the Mishnah called Menasech. What is Menasech? Rav Amar Menasech Mamash. Rav says, you actually, now, let me explain something. Let me step back. You know, we use the term Yayin Nesach very loosely. Really, Yayin Nesach is wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah. Or, going to one on the Amar, and Rashi's going to quote that, if a guy sticks his hand, or he sticks his hand in and shakes the wine, the shame Avodah Zarah, that's called Netzach. That is biblically prohibited because it was used to serve Avodah Zarah. Either it was poured in front of an Avodah Zarah as a service, they poured wine on the Mizbeach. The Goyim, under Avodah Zarah, pour wine on their Avodah Zarah or in front of their Avodah Zarah. That's part of their service. Or even if the guy, like, puts his hand into the wine and is mechaven all his kavanas, that's also serving Avodah Zarah, and that makes the wine Yayin Nesach. It is Asur B'Hanah biblically. It is Asur B'Hanah biblically. It's called Takruvas Avodah Zarah. It becomes an offering to Avodah Zarah. We use the term Yayin Nesach loosely. Any wine that's produced by Goyim or touched by Goyim, it's called Stam Yenam. Rabbanon asked it because of a fear of two reasons. Either the guy might do it for Avodah Zarah, or because we don't want social contact with Goyim. So they asked the wine. So when we say Yayin Nesach, we mean Stam Yenam 99% of the time. But in the Gemara, Yayin Nesach is real Yayin Nesach. So Zakhtrav, what is Menasech? Menasech Mamish. The guy actually served Avodah Zarah with the wine. What? Incantations is nothing. He has to either pour it, or shake it, or do something. They can do incantations all they want. That's why, I mean, if a bottle is sealed, there's nothing to worry about, because the guy couldn't move the wine. I mean, he can shake the bottle all he wants, but he can't get to the wine.
So touching the bottle is not...
Right, exactly.
We go overboard when we talk about the Ayanessa. We don't let the guy touch wine today.
You don't touch the wine. You can touch the bottle. Not if it's not empty. If it's half empty, you might shake it from Avodah Zarah. If it's full, that's not called shaking it.
You can't touch the wine.
If he touches the bottle, nothing happens.
An open bottle.
If he touches it, or he just shakes it? He moves it, he might start shaking it.
He doesn't have to touch the wine itself. That's shaking it.
Again, that's because if it's full, we don't consider that shaking, the fact that he... That's not called shaking.
I mean, it's got a little gap.
That doesn't mean anything.
That's full.
That's why Kedem sells you sealed bottles of wine. And you can buy it in a Geisha liquor store. There's a Kabbalah de Kachumra, be Kabbalah, not to use wine that a guy saw for Kiddush or Avdallah or for any mitzvah.
You can drink it otherwise? I know Rabbi Herschel is mocked on that.
It's a Kabbalah de Kachumra.
You can drink it if
he doesn't drink wine only when he makes a mitzvah. Yeah, he doesn't sit there and drink four cups of wine every night.
But if he wanted to, he could.
Yes. It's a Kabbalah de Kachumra not to do a mitzvah over wine that a guy saw. My father only bought sealed cases of wine. Never would buy wine in a liquor store because he didn't want a guy to have looked at it. By the way, there's another chumrah. I don't want to shake the world up. So I'm going to hold that our Yayin Mefutzel is not Mefutzel. He holds that the heter of Yayin Mefutzel is because the wine becomes worse. It's a derogatory wine. They wouldn't use it for Avodah Zarah. So today, unless you're who knows what of a connoisseur, can you tell the difference if it was pasteurized or not? So he doesn't hold that the heter of Yayin Mefutzel, period. Anyway, but the Veltzheim of that there is a heter of Yayin Mefutzel, I'm not changing the world. What? Only Jewish employees. No guy is allowed in that plant, period, till it's cased, till it's in the truck and they deliver it.
Is there a reason why Kedem sometimes sells some of a bushel to bigger bottles?
That's discrimination.
Wow. Or the smaller bottles, I forgot which one, and some are not.
Right, because, yeah, 100%. Well, but the size bottles is not, I don't know. But the halacha is brought down that's preferable to use a bushel. But they also are realistic that people then need to use mavushel because they have guests that are not from, they have goyim in their house, they're serving a chasanas, so they have to have mavushel. But at the same time, there are people that are makpa to use only ain't a mavushel. Because it's in halacha, it's brought as a hidur. So what do? So you provide both. I think they now even have an ain't a mavushel grape juice. to be careful. It says ein mevushel. They even have an ein mevushel grape juice. Again, for people who can't drink wine, they drink grape juice, and they want to use ein mevushel. It's a hidur. What? Ein mevushel. They do it as a public service. I mean, again, it's business, right? There are people that only use ein mevushel for kiddush. There are people that are not makpid. The people that have to use mevushel. I use Shadal Kaisis, I only use Eina Mavushel. But when I have a guest in the house that I need to use Mavushel, I use Mavushel. So you have to know which bottle you're using. That's where it comes from.
And the same applies to a Jew that's not.
So that, again, Michal Shabbos, the Fahesia.
What do you do?
Now we have the Hetrov Tinnik Shanishma. Again, there's all, I'm out here to Paschal Yishayelah. Right, the Chazon Ish says that we have a hetter of Tinnik Shanishma. Tinnik Shanishma is not like a, and you can use, you don't have to have the Mavushel. But the Velt seems to fear that when they have non from people, they have Mavushel. It's a Chumrah. The Chazon Ish says it's not necessary.
There's no hetter that the Goyim now don't have any idea what they're doing?
Yes, there's a big hetter. Therefore, that's why Stam Yenam is not Asir Bahana. The Ramah says, since the Goyim today don't know what they're doing, so therefore we allow you to sell your Stam Yenam. So if a guy got your wine in the fridge with an open bottle, we let you sell it. We don't let you drink it, but we let you sell it. So you can sell it to the guy for $2. I'll give you a good price here, $2 for the bottle of wine. Right. That's what the Ramah says. But in the olden days, Stam Yenam was treated as Hana. We treat Stam Yedem only in Israel, Shtia, not in Israel. No. Ipa, Menasech. What is Menasech in our Mishnah? Rabbi Menasech Mamash. He actually served Avodah Zarah. Took the words literally. Rashi, Menasech Mamash, Shikshik V'yadu L'tayach L'shem Avodah Zarah. He shook his hand in the wine for Avodah Zarah. Rashi's telling you, that's how they served their Avodah Zarah. If not, it doesn't mean anything. Now, if he poured the wine in for Avodah Zarah, that's even if they didn't serve it that way, because that's doing what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas shaking it, they never shook the wine for the Beis HaMikdash. So that, if that's the way they serve this Avodah Zarah, that's called Avodah Zarah.
They
poured the wine on the Mizbeach.
They just stick their hand into it.
I said, that's why Rashi says, there's two kinds of Isur Avodah Zarah. Things that they do to serve this Avodah Zarah, like going to the bathroom in front of Pa'ar, shaking wine, if that's how they serve this Avodah Zarah. Then there's things that are usher to every Avodah Zarah. And those are things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash. Bowing, shechting, zrika, nisuchayayin. That needs actual pouring. So Rashi says, by shikshuk, he says, kachoysa vedasa. That's what they used to do. If they didn't do it, it wouldn't be chayav.
But a vodazora to one
correct. If a guy goes to the bathroom in front of a different Avodah Zarah, not poor, it's not a Mice Avodah Zarah. That's not how they serve this Avodah Zarah. But there's certain things, regardless how they serve as Usher, because they did it in the Beis HaMikdash. Ishtakavah, Shchita, Zrika, Nitzuch, Torah, there's certain things. Because they're Avodahs, so they're considered Avodah Zarah.
Why are they considered Avodah Zarah?
Because that's what the Torah said.
Where?
Oh, learn Masechet Sanhedrin. There's a whole Gemara on this. We learned Masechet Sanhedrin.
Can we create a new Avodah Zarah? Or a method of Avodah?
You can do whatever you want. A person can do whatever they want.
And we make it Machiai Nesach?
If he poured wine to it, yeah. Again, I don't know how they create Avodah Zarah, but somebody created Avodah Zarah. There's a whole bunch of people serving Avodah Zarah. What do you think the Buddhists are doing? The Buddhists?
Who?
The Buddhists.
Buddhists.
They're serving Avodah Zarah, mamash. No, Christianity is a machlokes exactly. The Shittuf, don't believe in Shituf. Catholicism, they have these statues and things. They take it seriously. Right? The other ones don't take it so seriously. It's all food. In America, religion is all food. That's all it's about. Nobody takes anything. It's what you eat. It's all about food. Right? Shmuel says the word menasech in our Mishnah doesn't mean menasech. It means mixing yai nesech into other wine. What's wrong with pasha taich in the word? Menasech means pouring. Why are you saying it means mixing? He says he wouldn't pay by menasech. Because the person that does Nisuch is Chai Misa. If he's Chai Misa, he doesn't pay. Why does the Mishnah say he pays? Therefore, it can't mean Menasech. Because Menasech is Chai Misa. Chai Misa, we have a rule called Kam Levi Ramine. He gets the worst punishment. And Kam Levi Ramine is even if he doesn't get killed. The fact that he did a capital offense is enough to pop him for money. So Shmuel says, I can't translate the word literally. Because literally, they wouldn't pay a thing. Fracti Gemara, Ve'idach, what does Rav do with that? Kedu Rabbi Yirmiya. Dama Rabbi Yirmiya, V'shasak Bo'al Dekana, V'shay Benav Shalahava Atshas Nisuch. Rav says, he picked it up first. First he stole it. First he damaged it. By picking it up, he became obligated. And then he did Nisuch afterward. It's not at the same moment. Therefore, there's no Kam Lebed Rabbinay. And Shmuel says, since he's picking it up to do Nisuch, it's considered one long act of Nisuch. And therefore it is Kam Levi Dera Mine. So they're arguing, Gaia picks up wine to do Nisuch, is he Chaya Misa, is it one long action, or do we separate the actions, picking it up and then doing Nisuch? And therefore, according to Rav, it's not Kam Levi Dera Mine, because as soon as he picked it up to do Nisuch, he was Chayav. Therefore, at that point, he wasn't Chayav Misa yet. But Shmuel says, picking it up to do Nisuch, it's one long action of Nisuch. It's a capital offense. Again, we have a rule that Kam Levi Dera Mine is not only if he actually gets killed, even if he commits a capital offense.
If he never has to do it, he picks it up to do it, but he doesn't put it back.
So then he's not
Chayav. Right. So he picks it up for Nisuch.
Again, it's only if he finishes the Nisuch.
So this is a silly question, but when you pour wine, it gets wasted, right?
No, they pour it into something else.
Oh, you collected it.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. Whatever left in the bottle.
So it happens to be they both become us, but that's all because Yainasuk, we're not getting involved.
Right, that's what,
it's all us, sir. It's all us, sir, but I'm not going to get involved in this now.
What does it have to review? What did he say that doesn't make a chai?
Because you picked it, the guy picked it up. He's chai right away. Money. I'm sorry? Shasak Baal Dekana, it's chai bin Absalom Havi Achas Nisuch. The chi of beast comes when he pours it. The chi of money comes as soon as he picked it up. The minute he picked it up to do Nisuch, it becomes obligated. So it's not at the same moment, whereas Shmuel says it's one long action. Rashi. Look, Rashi. Menasech mamas b'demar, we did. No, yai nesach b'yai kosher shechaver v'asher v'anah. Come to the Draminei. The Matzi, the Mishni, the Matzi, the Matzi, the Chayim, the Tashlumim. The Ibn Gwede, the Chod, Mavi, the Nisku, he served the Zari, the Tzkila. The Agba, Menasech, the Gleisloi. They explain Rashi doesn't mean to steal, he means to do Nisuch.
So it's not
that's the Shaila. That's the Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. Is that called Basach? And that's what Tysus gets involved in, because the Gemara in Ksubas deals with this question. He picks something up to do an action. Is it one action? Is it two actions? That's the Gemara talks about.
I was asking yesterday about how making the kidney. I was talking about the cows blowing up on the truck. When's the kinyan done? You said when he takes it off the property.
That's if done like bar. Picking it up is different than pulling, taking it, walking it out.
Right, so what is a kinyan?
Correct.
Okay, that's it.
But we weren't talking about Agbor there, we're talking about Mashiach.
Yeah, I know, I forgot to use the word Agbor.
Yes.
I said bringing the truck and letting it go.
Now Chayim means some Makshava, no. Chayim means this only Bamaisa. Or accepting, you say Eliyata, but that's not what's happening here.
Rivian
is a wealth of knowledge. Right. I had to prepare, right? So I looked it up, so I know this. It's not like not a wealth of knowledge. It's, I prepared. Right. Frankly, Gemara. L'madam benasach my time alam amarav. Why didn't he want to say like Shmuel? Amalach. Now, the truth is the Gemara could have answered because the word is benasach. But the Gemara gives a different answer. Amalach ma'arav hanu b'damah. It's a repeat. Madama means mixing truma and chula. Menasech means mixing wine with other wine. Why would it repeat it twice? It's the same thing. V'idach, and what's Shmuel's response? L'chayr Rav is right. Isn't Madama and Menasech two of the same kind? Idach knasahu umeknas lo yafinam. A new yisoid that Shmuel says. If Chazal say you're chayr from Madama, that doesn't necessarily mean you're chayr from Menasech. Different actions are treated differently. It's a knas. It's not a rule. It's a knas. If they say mixing truma and chulin is chayiv, it doesn't necessarily mean menasech is chayiv. Maybe it does. So they have to speak out each case because we don't derive one knas from another knas. Rashi, haynu medami shemarev behet to davar eisrei. Like even the shemitah the kasur rabbanon. If you told us that they mixed by the chay by medama, who are the yofidim and elam menasach? The yitzchuk lemistei. So Rav saying there's no reason to mention menasach if it means mixing. Avol hashda the menasach mamish. But if you learn like me, Rav says that it means you actually were menasach. Yitzchuk lemistei like they become the drabnei potter. You shouldn't think that you're potter. Knasahu betamei medama the bemezit chayiv knasahu. The Hezek Shein and Nicker Loi Shmei Hezek. Again, remember I told you the Gemara is operating under the assumption that a Hezek Shein and Nicker is not a damage. Therefore, you shouldn't pay anything. Teretz, it's a knas. We don't want people running around and doing Hezek Shein and Nicker, so we punish him. Maybe we punish him in case one, and we don't punish him in case two. And therefore, the Mishnah had to speak out each case. According to Shmuel, each case has to be dealt with because you can't learn A from B and B from C. It's not a rule. It's individual cases. Rav said, yes, we would learn that one from the other. Therefore, Rav learns menasech means menasech mamish, because if it means mixing, he doesn't have to have two cases of mixing. Rav holds knasa miknasa yafina. Rav learns that the knas is a rule. It's not a case. It's a basic difference here. What did Chazal say? That Hezek Shein and Nicker always is chayiv? That I can derive every case from any other case? Or did they zero in on case A, case B, each individual case? What was the what Chazal said? Rav says they say one case, and we learn a rule from here. And Shmuel says no rules. Each case is separate. So at the end of the day, we have a machloikus what menasech means. Rav says it means he actually did nisuch. Shmuel says he mixed it. Zakti Gemara. Uleman the yalav knasa miknasa kolhani lamali. If Rav is right, so why did the Mishnah have to tell me three cases? The Mishnah should just say metame, and I would figure out everything else. It's a rule. Zakti Gemara itzricha. No, the Mishnah had to tell you three cases to write the parameters of the rule. Yes, you could figure out one case from the other, but not if they're not the same. So the Mishnah gave you all kinds of cases so you could write the rule now after you know all these cases. You mean the Tzadah Shavah? Okay, why? The High Tzadah, the Yitzchana Metameh. If it would say just the case of Matame, I would say, Truma have mishum the kamapsal legamri. You have to understand, when you're Matame Truma, you give the guy a real loss. the truma was worth $1,000, and when it's tummy, it's worth $10. Still worth something. You can use it as fuel. But in comparison to food, it's a fraction, a small fraction of its value. V'im matami chulin, and if it was matami chulin, which can be eaten, b'shun b'asher ligrim tumah l'chulin sheba'eretz Yisrael. The halacha is, Chazal said, we don't want people making food tameh, even chulin. And this guy made chulin tameh, so it's a reason to punish him for violating the iser of making chulin tameh. Avu medameh malai, but mixing chulin and truma, there's no iser. And the value is not that diminished. Yes, chulin goes for $10 a pound, and truma goes for $8 a pound, or $7 a pound, because there's a lesser market, but it's still worth money. It's not a big hit. Matame is a big hit. You take it from value of food and make it the value of fuel. Whereas...
Not really. I mean, are
you... Yes, you do. What can you do with Tame to get truma?
But that's
only
Madama,
I'll learn. Well, let's more do a thing. Majenke by Madama, you did make it less in value, but not such a big loss. So maybe they wouldn't punish you in that case. If it would only say Matame, I would write the rule of Hezek Shane and Nicker when it's a big loss. So that's why it had to say Matame. Let me just finish. He asked me the Madama, Mishum, the Shiach, happens frequently. People mix things. That's something that happens more frequently. A metamic l'shiach, very infrequent that truma should become metame. Doesn't happen that much. Hey, malay. That's why it had to say both metame and medama. Because if it would only say one of the two, I wouldn't figure out the other one. Even if you learn not one knas from the other. That's if you write the rule. But you would write the rule differently if you only had one case. If you'd only have Matame, you'd write the rule, Hezek Shane Nicker with a huge deficit. Huge loss.
Yeah.
And if it only say Madama, I would say, Hezek Shane Nicker when it's frequent. I would write the rule differently. So by writing both cases, it's expanding the rule. Yes?
I don't have the original question that's bothering me, my wife.
Yes.
You don't have all three words. You only know one case. You only know
the case. Again. Shmuel,
I don't know anything else besides it. I don't know.
Why not?
Another.
I'll write the rule. The rule is the time is Hezek Shane and Nicker, so I'll say every Hezek Shane and Nicker.
But these other cases like Manasseh and
why not? Okay. If I write the rule, anything that fits in the rule.
But I don't know what are the parameters of what's
considered.
Rather,
recognize
the parameters. No!
That's what the Gemara answered. That's why the Gemara did what it did. In order to write the rule, we needed these cases to set the parameters. Thank you for being Muhammad to the Gemara. If I learned it.
Lost, no loss. I have to know other actions that you...
What other act? They're all the same. You made a Hezek Shane and Nicker. They're all the same.
Every action is the same?
Why is it different? So that's the Gemara's answer. I would have made a difference.
But that's just the value.
Whatever the Gemara's going to say. Mr. Shem, we will continue this on Monday. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbat Sunday morning, Chazara. 6:30.